He charged me with resisting arrest.
Get that confidence in jail.
I object.
This is the second half of the Lizzo episode. If you missed the first half, head over to the feed. It's already posted. Check out that episode and then come back and join us here.
All right. So like we said, we see both sides because I can definitely see myself if someone like recorded a video of me like absolutely losing my shit or like being crazy or being ridiculous. And I would be like, you need to delete that. And I'm sure you would too. You'd be like, you have got to delete that. This is my livelihood. Delete it. You know, but as the person who has the video on my phone, I would be like, excuse me. Not only is this my phone, but you have got to let me out of this room because I am now falsely imprisoned and you got to stop. So that's the issue there. It's like claim number 9. Did the tour managers like literally lock these people in a room and not let them go until they deleted a recording? Because that's an issue. So Lizzo argues, listen, all of it. Yeah, whatever. It seems harsh. You know, in the words of Vanessa Hudgens, people are going to die. It's inevitable. Lizzo says it's part of the creative process. People are going to be sexually assaulted. It's inevitable. And the court goes, we agree. Actually, to an extent, we agree. And then they cheersed. And then they took a sip of their martini. And then they continued on. And they said, "You, Lizzo, babe, you were creating a television show. And we get it. You created a television show. All of these people needed to be involved and said they wanted to be involved. And there is nothing more free speechy than creating a television show. You are creating speech and you are broadcasting it to the masses and we fucking love it." Now, as an American, I agree. Make your TV show, broadcast it to the world. Put your art out there. I'm putting my art out there. Yes, I believe this is art. Maybe you don't. Lizzo goes through and she goes, okay, remember, you agree with me. I agree with me. This was all creative and I'm going to tell you why. And this is what the court agreed to. So now I'm speaking from the court. So now I have a deeper voice and I'm made out of mahogany instead of having a fun voice and covered in sparkles as if I was Lizzo. Or even a backup dancer. Now I'm mahogany and I have a deep voice. I am the court. Even if I'm a woman, which all women should be allowed to be judges on the court, and I should not be canceled for that. Courts have a deeper voice. So the court goes, here's where I agree with Lizzo. Okay, number one fan trying to get backup or background seats or whatever you call it behind the stage. And the court goes, okay. Regarding the nude photo shoot, hiring and firing dancers is part of the creative process. Okay, it's just like nature of the beast. The singer is going to select who plays with them. The performer is going to select who performs with them. Whatever you are doing to select the people who help you perform, whether it's audibly by playing an instrument or visually by playing themselves as an instrument and dancing, whatever it is, you are selecting people to assist you in furtherance of your art. And so that's protected. And then it's like, I kind of agree with that. I agree. If someone is helping you get your art out there, that's protected. They could quit. They can quit. Might they suffer some financial angst? Might they not be able to make their rent? They might not, but they can quit and they can find another job. And so that's where I'm like, all right, yeah, see it, you know, we're going nude. If you don't want to play, don't play. We'll get someone in here who wants to play. And just to equate that to all of us people who aren't Lizzo and aren't putting on a show, I'm sure we've all been to sleepovers or participated in sleepover parties as youngsters where it's like the dare is always like, go run and streak through the neighborhood for 5 seconds and then come back. And everyone's like, holy shit, they're going to run naked down the street. That person could say no. That person could be like, actually, Ellen, that's not what I'm going to do. They're allowed to say no. Just like the backup dancers are allowed to be like, okay, I thought this was one thing. I thought we were dancing. But now that we're here, like, I don't think I'm down to pose nude. I'm going to go. And then Liz also be like, okay, go. Bye. Bye. I'll find someone who will. So that's the that.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So then the court goes, all right. And then the backup dancers had a problem with the feedback. And by feedback, what the court is talking about is the time when the girl went pee-pee in her pants. Yeah. Apparently that was feedback, the re-audition process. And the court goes, all right, here's the deal with the that. So sorry you peed. You know, it's itchy. It's warm. It causes a problem for everyone involved, and I'm sure she had to move from her spot. It caused problems. Nobody wants to see that or experience it. But the judge says, listen, the re-audition process, that's all just part of Lizzo's vision. She's trying to create a vision, and so she's got to make sure, you know, you were fine then. Are you fine now? Or can we get someone else who, you know, embodies my vision more and can create my art the way I want to create the art? That's, you know, I guess, a point. At the same time, I'm like, okay, there's a difference between can this person help an artist create art? And does this person feel like if they leave to relieve themselves, that they will never be, they can't have a job, that their chances are done? Because it's not like she's like, oh, I really need a cigarette. Oh my God, I need a cigarette. I got to go outside. She's like, I have to pee, actually. And, you know, there's only so long you can hold your pee before you pee or you get a UTI. I'm speaking from experience because, God, I remember, and it's like, okay, you pee your pants as an adult. All right, you do. And just to make the playing field even, I will never forget when I was in college and I was living with one of my besties, who I'm still besties with to this day. She was single. I was always single, like until I met George. But she was single after like 4 years. And she's like, okay, Lauren, like, can you take me to this party? I want to meet this boy. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I will be the driver. I will stay sober. And I will drive you to meet this man from Tinder, so long as, because there's always a caveat, so long as I can wear your super cute, knee-high Steve Madden boots that were like camel tone and leather and so cute. And so my friend's like, all right, fine. And you can even drive my car, which I loved because she had a Jeep and I had a Kia, and it was so much more fun to drive the Kia. So we head out. Here I am in her knee-high boots, no fur, all leather. I got on a little skirt. I'm skinny. I'm in college. I'm cute as hell. And I'm like, I'm the DD. Let's go. Drive her to this place, which, mind you, I'm not making this up. We lived in Los Angeles. The apartment complex that we went to so that this girl could meet this man was across the street from an abandoned mental hospital. So I was already kind of like, all right, so not only am I sober, there's a mental hospital across the street and I kind of want to go, but I can't go because I'm supervising this first Tinder date. Anyway, I'm drinking water like it's going out of business because I don't know about you, but when I get nervous, like I need to have something in my hand and then I need to drink it. I mean, hopefully it's not like an ink pen I have in my hand and it's like an actual beverage, but I'm just like, I'm nervous. What can I do with my hands? And what can I do with my mouth? And what could those combinations of things be that doesn't create a sexual experience for anybody? I just want to drink a drink and keep my hands free. So long story short, I drink a fuck ton of water and then push came to shove. It was 3 a.m. It was time to go. I go, all right, babe, get in the car. We're going home. We go home. We obviously have to stop at Mickey D's and get soft serve ice cream cones. So I'm like, okay, here's yours. Here's mine. We're going to go home. We're home. I park the car. Here I am in my cute little mini skirt and my friend's boots. And we're in the elevator and I'm sober. And I have to pee. And my best friend is wasted, holding an ice cream cone, saying, you want some ice cream, Lieutenant Dan? And totally quoting Lieutenant Dan ice cream scene from Forrest Gump. Obviously, I laughed so hard. I not only peed my mini skirt, but all the pee went down both of my legs and puddled inside of both of my friend's boots. So I know a thing or two about not only peeing my own pants, but also peeing my friend's boots. And I will say that was in 2016. It is 2024 and she has brought this story up to me. So I understand the embarrassment of not being able to live down a public pee incident. Mine was in an elevator with one other person and I can't live it down. So I don't know if I agree with the court there. I don't know if it's about the vision. I don't know, but I also don't need to know. Regarding the soft hold, the fact that you're not allowed to work because we might call you in for a tour. The court goes, it's negotiations. They're trying to staff a tour. Of course it's in furtherance of the creative process, for God's sakes. Okay, fine. When you put it that way, I kind of agree. It's like, yeah, I'm trying to put on a show. Are you in or are you not? We got to figure it out. If you're in, please don't work for the next 5 weeks. If you're out, I don't give a fuck, but you're not going to be part of my show. Okay. The court also goes, okay, all right, regarding the whole decision-making process of personnel who are putting on the show, also protected. The court also said regarding producing a show and the decisions that go into producing a show, that's all protected. You are creating speech. If you are producing a show, you're creating speech and you should be able to do that. Okay. Well, you guys remember that. Not you guys, meaning you guys, meaning the court and the government, because it's like, I feel as though there are some things that people want shows about that other people are like, you can't possibly have a show about that, but whatever. It's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother day. But remember when I told you, remember this claim, because we're going to come back to it. If you remember, that was when the whole thing came up about Lizzo and her company calling the Black members of the dance team lazy, unprofessional, and snarky. This is where I have a big problem, because the court goes, even if it's alleged to be racist, this is a quote, even if it's alleged to be racist, the court needs to look at Lizzo's conduct without relying on the motive that the dancers alleged. And it's like, okay, so if I'm sitting crisscross applesauce with my hands in my lap and I say something racist, but I'm filming it because it's for the art, that's okay, right? We're all like, what the fuck? How beast? How dare you? In the words of Eileen Davidson. Yeah, absolutely. That's it. My gut reaction is like, how is it not racist to call a specific group of people on this team? So it's a whole team made up of all different types of people, men, women, white people, Black people, Asian people, Middle Eastern people, all kinds of fucking people make up Lizzo's dance team. And you're going to call out a specific group of people, specifically the Black members of this dance team. And you're going to hurl allegations about laziness, unprofessionalism, and snark just against those people for purportedly acting the same way everybody else on the team acted or has said. That's racist. That's fucked up. And the court goes, maybe it is. Maybe it is racist. But was it made in furtherance of a creative activity? The court goes, yeah. Because when Lizzo's team said to these specific people, you're lazy, you're unprofessional, and you're snarky, those comments were made in the entire context of negotiating a retainer. And because you are negotiating a retainer for the purposes of a tour, which is an expression of creativity and an expression of speech, that is protected. Okay, let's all take a sip. Remember I said get your bevies? We're all going to take a big sip. Ready? That's so fucked up. That is so fucked up. And I'm going to tell you why the court said that. The court said, even if it's racist, it's fine. Because, and this is the beautiful, horrible part of the First Amendment. We want to encourage speech. This is one of the only countries where you can say whatever the fuck you want. You're allowed to get on the internet and you're allowed to say, fuck Donald Trump. I fucking hate him. He sucks. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's a criminal and a buffoon. And you're also allowed to get on a microphone and you're allowed to say, fuck Joe Biden. He's an old man and he's only wearing glasses because they're prescription and he can't see, which also same. And also, like, he fell off a bike. He should not be running this country. You are allowed to say that. You're also allowed to be a complete and utter racist. And quite frankly, the Supreme Court has, you know, ruled that you're even allowed to be an absolute white supremacist. All speech is protected, even if it's offensive. Because, and I know that's like, okay, tough pill to swallow. Like, there's a difference between offensive and just plain wrong. There's a difference between you're just like being kind of rude and saying things against me that they don't feel good and it's rude, and targeting people and saying very specific things about them that you know is something that is already a negative connotation towards that group of individuals. You're going to sit there and you're going to say that specifically. That's bad and that's racist. And the court goes, and it's also allowed, because we can't pick and choose what free speech is. Free is free. If you want to take that privilege and use it and be a complete fuckface, okay, go ahead. We have to let you do that. If you want to use that privilege and you want to advocate for people and you're like, no, fuck that. That's wrong. We're standing up for people. We're educating the rest of America and we're breaking barriers and we're including everybody. That's also protected, because the government is like, free is free. And quite recently, and actually yesterday, I had an interaction where I was in a hearing and I was in front of a judge, and it was me and opposing party and whatever. And we're there, we're introducing ourselves to the judge and being like, this is us and this is what we want and so on and so forth. And the judge said, and it struck a serious chord with me. The judge goes, okay, by the way, everyone, listen up and listen here. And I'm paraphrasing, so this is something to the effect of, if you want to know what the judge actually said, you can order the transcript. But the judge said something to the effect of, listen, if you bring an issue to me, if there is a question between the two of you, the two parties, and you can't pick an answer, and you ask me to pick an answer, I'm not your friend. I'm not going to sit here and think about, well, how will petitioner feel? How will plaintiff feel? How will respondent feel? How will defendant feel? Who do I like? What do I do? What's fair? He goes, I will not decide that way. I am the government and I will decide your question as the government and I will give you a government answer. Okay. And I have told every client I have, and I'm, oh, did you hear the jingle? That was Heidi's little collar. Heidi, the dog, she's done sitting under my feet. She wants some stretches. Anyway, it's like the judge is right. And I tell all my clients this too. It's like the worst case scenario is going to trial. The worst case scenario is going in front of a judge. And that's because you don't want this person to decide. You don't want the government to tell you what to do. Nobody does. That's why we're in America. If you want the government to tell you what to do, you'll go somewhere else. None of us do. That's like a common, oh my God, I just caught a glimpse of my reflection and I have a side part and I'm just thinking like, oh my God, I'm such a millennial. Okay. Don't tell my sister. She's like, why didn't you part your hair right? It's so tough being the oldest sister, but anyway, that's the soapbox on freedom of speech. And that's why the court was like, yeah, you're okay. So maybe it was racist to call them, this whole group of people, lazy and unprofessional, but is it wrong? No. So that's the that on that. I don't agree. You don't have to agree. You can agree. I don't know if you should, but that's not my problem. And that's just what the court said. Okay. And the court goes, these comments were made by management. They were in the context of negotiating retainers. Protected. Okay. Now the prayer circles. Ugh. The court goes, it's a close call. You know, it's pretty close there. Because if there's one thing that the court gets really obsessed with, it's religion. And the court's either like, we love religion. Religion and religious beliefs should rule the government and all decisions should be based on these people's religion. And then there's other courts that are like, okay, this is a religious thing. That's kind of on you. It's your freedom of speech, but not my problem. And that's sort of the direction this court takes, what I'm going to call the Lizzo court. They go, okay, it's a close call. Okay. It's not right. These people should not be proselytizing to their employees. But that being said, participating in a prayer circle prior to going up on a stage or being a part of a world tour. And I think we all see this when we watch the Netflix documentaries about our favorite artists and their tours, like Katy Perry and her prayer circle and this, that, and the other thing. The court goes, this is common. I have information that says this is common. Lizzo is not the only person to do a prayer circle. Lots of people do prayer circles. It's almost industry standard before every live performance. And that fact shows that there is a functional relationship between this prayer circle and the creative process. If everyone is doing a prayer circle before they go up on stage, they're intertwined. Okay. They're one in the same. We don't, whatever the vocab word is. Now, the court goes, you want to know it's not protected? Fucking Miss Quiggles, get up here front and fucking center. Miss Quiggles, you're going to stand in front of the court and the court is going to tell you, Quiggs, your religious and sexual comments made during rehearsals? No, honey. It doesn't matter that you were religious and sexual during a practice, during the creative process. It doesn't matter. You didn't further it. So she's saying, the court is saying, whenever Quiggs was like, oh, you're virgin, it's like that was out of pocket and that was not okay. And it's like, all right, so here's where I'm having a bit of like an internal conflict. So it's all fine and dandy if we make racist comments, but the second we're like, oh, you're a virgin, I'm sorry, that's a big no-no. Don't make me get on a soapbox about women's reproductive health and reproductive rights. Because to me, it's like, okay, so you're allowed to make racist comments and that's protected and you can do whatever you want. But the second we're questioning a woman's sexuality, whether she has engaged in sex or not, whether she's saving herself for one partner or not, all of a sudden, that isn't protected. That isn't your First Amendment right. Okay. It's very confusing to me. If I want to know if you think differently and you think, you know, maybe the racist comment shouldn't be protected or Quiggle's religious comment should be protected, I want to hear from you. It's one thing for me to sit here and have all these opinions, but I really want to know, what do you think? Let's take a quick break. All right. And we're back. So now that we've had that whole conversation about, is this in furtherance of free speech or is it not? Which is a big question. In fact, the first question the court has to ask. Now we're going to look at the burden shifting. Have the plaintiffs put things in their complaint that they could quite possibly succeed on? And so the court goes through it again, one after another, after, and it's like, you want to know why this opinion was 37 pages and costed me $16 to save and print out? It's because here we go again, which we have to, and I'm not complaining like from a legal standpoint, sure, whatever. From someone who's like talking about it, oh my God, we have to do this again. So the complaint goes, all right, now we have to go through and see what the plaintiffs have to say. So the first cause of action, nude photo shoot, that's sexual harassment, according to the backup dancers. Now the court's like, okay, well, you have to go ahead and show that it's not just like kind of offensive, but actually someone discriminated against you because of your sex. So it can't be like, okay, yeah. Was it a little offensive that we asked you to be nude? Sure. But did we make you do it because you were a woman? No, we made the men do it too. So the court's like, you have to kind of distinguish here. Is it just kind of sexually offensive? And you're like, man, I don't want to do that. Or was it an actual discrimination against you because of your sex? And that's where the definition of sex is important. We all know. So the court goes, you know what? There's actually nothing in the facts here. There's no indication of sexual interest. None. And there's no indication of sexual favoritism. And nothing that the dancers have put out there has even shown that. So Lizzo wins. The photo shoot, the nude photo shoot is protected, and the court says, let's strike it from the complaint. So anything, all those paragraphs that had to do with the nude photo shoot and how that impacted the backup dancers, that's off the table. The court goes, white it out, redact it. It never happened. I didn't read it. What nude photo shoot? Hell if I know. Lizzo wins. The second cause of action, the court also kind of takes like the cheap route and they go, all right. And also same as number one, Lizzo wins. So, okay, it's cool. Same as number one, Lizzo wins. We're all tired of this opinion by this point. The third cause of action, religious discrimination. The dancers are like, listen, Quigs knew that we didn't share the same religious beliefs. Quigs knew that she was a Christian and I was not. And even so, even knowing that I didn't share the same beliefs as the Quigmeister, they made these prayer circles mandatory. And that's singling me out. And the court goes, all right, I agree with you. I agree with you, backup dancers. Listen, there's enough evidence here that you've put in front of me, the court, that would let a jury agree with you. A jury could be like, I agree with the dancers. Quigs was in the wrong. Quigs should not have brought up any religious beliefs. Like, it's too much. And so the court goes, well, because the court could, a jury could find that. Not struck. The dancers win. And I'm like, okay. I understand. I understand that there's a question here and that, you know, any reasonable person on a jury could see that there's a question there. And what I want to know is, why is there no question there with the nude photo shoot? So then the court moves on to the fourth cause of action, which was the religious discrimination lawsuit. The plaintiffs are like, we're backup dancers. You did not protect us from religious discrimination. And in fact, you forced us to participate in prayer circles that we want nothing to do with. And the court once again goes, oh, you want to pray about it? You win, dancers. That's fucked up. That's wrong. She can make you be naked, but she cannot ask you to pray about it. That's the line. Okay? Your entire career can be hinged on whether you spread them in front of a camera for America and the world to see. It's fine. That's art. That's art, baby. That's art, baby. But you, Miss Quiggs, want these people to participate in a prayer? That's the line. Fuck no. So that's what the court has to say. Now, racial discrimination. Again, it's confusing because now, remember where I was all up in arms with the court and I go, what the fuck? You think you can say these things, Nemo, but you just can't. And the court goes, I told you you could say these things, but you just can't, Nemo. And the court goes, the dancers say they're part of a protected class. As a minority racial group, that is a legally protected class. There are things that you cannot do or say about a particular protected class. They have a, how do I put it? They're protected. How about I just say it that way? They're protected. There are less things you can do or say against a specific group of people in a protected class that you can say against people who are not in a protected class. As a white person, I'm not in a protected class. As a woman, I am. Because I'm straight, not in a protected class. If I were gay in any way, here comes a protected class. So the court goes, all right, the dancers, what they said, they are part of a protected class. This is a group of Black individuals that's a race-based protected class. And these unwanted comments about laziness and this, that, and the other thing, that's unwanted. And these people are protective. And the court goes, all right, I'm going to quote the court. There isn't too much of a win here. Okay, what the fuck is it with this court being like, oh, racism is fine, but sex is another thing. All right. It's just like weirdly puritanical for a California court, in my opinion. But I have nothing to do with that. So the court goes, not too much of a win here. But if we sort of favor the plaintiffs and we sort of lean into what they have to say, someone somewhere could infer that there's a conflict between white managers and Black dancers. So the dancers win. And like, I agree that the dancers should win, but the reasons why the dancers should win, I don't know. It's like, and then it's like, am I not in favor of free speech? I'm in favor of free speech. That I think there's a difference here between, and what I think the court has not analyzed at all is here the court is saying, well, Lizzo's a celebrity. Well, anything Lizzo does is part of public concern. The public wants to know. We should be able to talk about it. This, you know, everything she does is part of creating her art, except for this, that, and the other thing. But the majority of it is creating art. So we need to protect it. So yeah, the dancers say there's a conflict here. And the court says, I agree. There's a conflict here. And so, you know, as the court says, not too much of a win here, but a win's a win. And how dare you for slimming the win? So then the sixth cause of action, disability discrimination regarding the PP on the dance floor, the court goes, it just kind of seems like you were fired because you recorded a meeting and not because you disclosed anything, not because you said you had anxiety and you were gaining weight. It seems like you just recorded a confidential meeting. And so Lizzo won on that one. And okay, I see it. I agree. Seventh cause of action, the soft hold. They go, all right, none of you dancers showed anything that would prove to me the court that the soft hold is wrong. All right. Here's where I have to say about that. Here's my opinion, and this is just an opinion, and I'm not trying to get worked up. If somebody says you can't do anything, you're put on pause for any ability to make money, you are not allowed to make money because I might call you in a few weeks, that's wrong. Forcing people to not earn an income or not participate in income earning or not participate in the economy or refusing to allow them to exercise their freedoms and get a job or choose not to have a job, all of that to me is wrong. Nobody gets to tell somebody, you don't get to have another job. You have to be unemployed. Okay, we did away with that. We have done away as a country. We are done telling people that they have to do a job for no money or that they cannot do a job for no money. I thought that was decided years ago. Okay, especially in California, where it's supposed to be like a liberal leaning, which is like, oh, this is supposed to be a liberal versus non-liberal thing. It's like, see, this is where I'm like, you're going to get me all up in arms, court. But it's like, no, I think that's wrong. And I think the fact that Lizzo won that, if I were the attorney for the backup dancers, I would say, fuck it. We're appealing just on that. On that alone. Nobody gets to tell somebody that they are not allowed to work or that they must work and pay them no money for that. If your employer says, or potential employer says, well, for the next 6 months, don't take any new jobs. Okay. No new jobs, but you're not working for me, but you're not allowed to work for 6 months, but I'm not going to pay you. What the fuck? What is that? What is that? So I don't know. I'm like, where's the Court of Appeals? Somebody call her because this is not okay. So then the court actually calls upon the Court of Appeals themselves and says, this is their final summary. The court goes, okay. And in conclusion, what I have to say is, and they said, this court was presented with a number of difficult issues. This was hard. And I agree, this was hard. And the court goes, a lot of these allegations, it's like they're either protected or they're a matter of public interest. So it's like, this was kind of hard. And it's like, I did my best, but is it a public matter of concern or is it a difficult issue? I don't know. I don't know. But then the court goes, but I personally, as a court, the court is wary of injecting itself into the creative process, which, I mean, you almost have to support. Why should a court, aka the government, as we spoke about before, who is the court in this world? Who is Adrian Maloof in this world to inject themselves into the creative process and say, oh, you wanted to do XYZ? Well, I don't agree. So your little creative vision is squashed. It's a slippery slope, as one might say. So the court goes on and says, like, we as an institution do not favor, we take no liking towards chilling a constitutional right. So if you have a constitutional freedom of speech, who am I to hinder that? And in that case, I agree. Who are you, court, to hinder that? I don't know. Who is Adrian Maloof in this world? And then they go, and this is a direct quote, it is dangerous, which I agree, for the court to weigh in ham-fisted, which is like all I can picture is like a big, like hairy hand of a man holding like a honey baked ham. And that man is like, it's dangerous, holding the ham. That's just what I picture when the court says it is dangerous for the court to weigh in, ham fisted. I don't know. Maybe I'm just far too young to understand the reference, but ham fisted does not sound like a real thing to me. Okay, so the court goes, it is dangerous for the court to weigh in ham fisted into constitutionally protected activity. You know, Lizzo's freedom of speech. But, and in my case, it's a big one, but it is equally dangerous. So just as dangerous as it is for the court to chill speech, it is just as dangerous to turn a blind eye to discrimination and other forms of misconduct just because this conduct took place in a situation where there was speech involved and that someone was exercising their constitutional right. And that's super true. And then the court says the court has tried to thread this needle, although the court, being a trial court only, which, like, girl, you are not just a trial court. You are not a trial court only. And I would implore the court to edit or amend their order and remove that. How dare you limit yourself? Well, I do agree. The trial court is limited in its authority. I just think we all should be speaking highly of ourselves. So while the court has tried to thread this needle, although the court, being a trial court only, is well aware that this is likely the first stop on the case's journey. So yeah, the court kind of humbled itself. It goes, all right, this is my decision, but we all know it's not going to, the buck does not end here. And the court was right, because both parties filed an appeal and both parties were like, the court got it wrong. Figure it out. Court of Appeals, make a new law. So in conclusion, what was struck from the complaint is the stuff about the nude photo shoot, the disability discrimination allegations regarding Le Pipi on the dance floor, the fact that the dancer was fired for having anxiety, depression, and an eating disorder, and the soft hold, all that is granted. The court goes, white it out. What nude photo shoot? But denied it as to the remainder. As to the remainder, the court said that's written in ink, and that was filed with the court, and we're going to consider it. So both parties appealed, and I'm going to let you know something. This is going to be very expensive. Because, and I know this because when Lizzo won a little bit of her anti-slap lawsuit, apparently there's a law that says if you win, even if it's only partially, you can recoup your attorney's fees. The other party has to pay them like in proportion to what you've won. So if you've won half, you can recoup half. It doesn't mean the court will let you. If you won a quarter, you can recoup a quarter, but doesn't mean the court will let you. So Lizzo goes, well, I won some and I lost some, so I should be able to recuperate some. And that sum that Lizzo is trying to recoup, guess how much it is? All right. Okay. So guess how much it has cost Lizzo to defend this lawsuit from the fall of last year. Let's call it October. I think it was November. We'll call it October to be, I don't know, like generous. Okay. October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. Okay. All right. So it's 8 months. 8 months. But this is like two motions. Okay. Guess how much Lizzo has said that she spent on her anti-slap motion up until this point. Did you say 10,000? No, wrong. Did you say $25,000? No, you're not correct. Lizzo said and has requested that her backup dancers, who she fired and made pee on the dance floor, pay $84,000. $729 and 10 cents. Do not get me on my soapbox about rich people, but really? And 10 cents? Let's just round it up to 84,730 or round it down to 84,700. The 10 cents, it's like, okay, let's nickel and dime ya. For God's sakes, Lizzo. And whose fault is it that you chose an expensive attorney? That's what I would say. That's what I would say. $84,000. Okay, so that's me as a normal person. And then me as an attorney is like, yeah. And we didn't even charge her for all the emails. So we gave her a lot of shit for free. And that's what I say as an attorney and what I say as a normal person who's foregoing their license. Like $84,000? Thank God she's a millionaire with her own fucking snowplow named Blizzo, because holy shit. I don't even think I've earned $84,000 in a year. Like, that's a lot of money. And of course she makes a lot of money, but like, what the fuck? So anyway, that's what she asked for. But you want to know, the court was like, the court said, I hear you, Lizzo. I know you spent a lot of money, but you both appealed. And so let's wait and see what the Court of Appeal says. Because that, you know, remember what I said, like, you can recoup your fees like in proportion to what you've won. So the court's like, let's figure out what you've really won before I go ahead and assign you attorney's fees, because we'll just be back here. If the court's like, yeah, you won 50% of this motion, and then grants $42,000 in attorney's fees, and then the Court of Appeals is like, actually, Lizzo won nothing. I mean, it's the same old tale of like, you pay for something from a company and they have no problem taking your money really quickly and right off the bat. But the second you refund something or they owe you money, all of a sudden it's like a 15-day hold and you can have your money in a store credit and this, that, and the other thing. So the court's like, we're going to put this on pause. Thank you so much. Much like Dorinda, you're put on pause, and we're going to revisit attorney's fees after the Court of Appeals says what I've done wrong. All right, so I guess we stay tuned. But that being said, this is going to be a while, maybe a couple months. So don't expect an episode next week about this. Don't do it. Maybe in a couple months. I'm going to say this is the last we're going to hear from Lizzo. This is the last we will hear from Melissa Jefferson, at least for this season, because who am I to rush the Court of Appeals? I am nobody in this world. So that's the that on that. And now let's discuss criminal behavior. So for all of our new listeners, what is criminal behavior? Oh my God. It's like those things that happen in everyday life that you and all of us believe is just like a fucking arrestable offense. How dare you? So for example, my criminal behavior this week is whenever I connect my AirPods to my phone and it's like all of a sudden it's the loudest possible volume it could have ever been as soon as I put my AirPods in, and then I'm deaf, I've blacked out, and I can't hear, and I have a headache, and it's triggered a migraine. And I think that's fucked up. What the fuck? And I'm also confused because it's like we all got that, you know, Surgeon General's warning label about how listening to music too loud will impact your hearing and damage your eardrums. Yeah, I know. Which is why I don't listen on the highest setting. So riddle me this, Apple, why do you attach when I put on my headphones? Why does it automatically go to the highest setting? Steve, Mr. Jobs, Mr. No Jobs, you're fucking fired. We're done. I do love my AirPods, but at what cost? So that's my criminal behavior. I'm I am always curious, what is your criminal behavior? Another one I have is my car makes beeping noises if you cross over the line to like, oops, I drifted into the other lane. That's criminal. How dare you? I am free to move about the area, and I should not need to prove to my car that my blinker works in order to do so. But anyway, I don't need to go into multiple details about my criminal behavior. That's my criminal behavior. This was so fun. I guess we'll find out in a few months whatever happens to Lizzo. And in the meantime, I guess let's just like keep some boots on the ground, some ears to the pavement or whatever the like idiom is. And let's stay in tune with what's necessary, which is we got to figure out what's going on Vanderpump Rules. Because I also found out that they're like not filming anymore. I don't know. It's a lot. So cheers. Thank you so much for listening. And we will catch you next time on Allegedly Bravo. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.